Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. Thank you for tuning in. Tonight, Nadine will take us on an adventure into the California wilderness, where ancient trees have clung to rocky hillsides for thousands of years. We'll hear their secrets from the past as we camp out beneath the stars. Just a quick mention tonight that if you'd like to support the podcast, the very best way to do so is by subscribing to our supporters feed, Get Sleepy Premium. Go to our website at getsleepy.com/support or follow the link in the show notes to learn more about that. And before we get to our story, I'd like to thank our friends at Manta Sleep for their support. If you're thinking about purchasing a sleep mask, then I genuinely cannot recommend Manta highly enough. I use my Manta mask all the time, and it's so comfortable and effective that I soon forget I'm even wearing it once I settle down for some rest. They have several varieties of sleep masks and also sell body pillows, weighted blankets, and other great products to aid sleep. The quality for me is unbeatable, and the innovative design means that you can adjust the sleep mask to fit your head, face, and eyes perfectly, which guarantees 100% blackout and hopefully a nice deep sleep. Right now, Manta are kindly offering 10% off for our listeners. Just go to mantasleep.com and use the code GETSLEEPY at the checkout. That's mantasleep.com and you'll get 10% off with the code GETSLEEPY. And I'm confident you'll have zero regrets. So, if you're ready to begin your journey toward the land of Nod tonight, then just follow along as I guide you through some simple breathing and relaxation techniques. Let's start with a big, deep breath in and slowly release the air back out. And in again. And control the breath back out. As you continue this pattern of breath, notice if you're holding on to any tension or discomfort. And just try squeezing your shoulders up to your neck when you next breathe in. Feel the tension collect in your shoulders. And hold it for a couple of seconds. Then, as you breathe out, release that tension. Feel your shoulders drop naturally as the air leaves your body. And feel the tension flow down with it and out through the ends of your toes, into the external world. Just keep that going, gradually releasing all of the tension, bit by bit. Eventually, you'll feel a pleasant softness envelop your entire body. your muscles become heavier, sinking into the bed. So take your time and keep going with this simple relaxation technique for as long as you like. And if at any point you sense anxiety or tension lingering within, take a moment to release it by returning to this simple exercise. So now, as you sense yourself easing into sleepiness, let's turn to a story that is perfect for bedtime. It begins in the vast California wilderness, winding down a long road with mountains on either side. We're headed to an ancient forest.
The car engine rumbles softly. It bumps gently but rhythmically over the nearly empty interstate as you pass through Owens Valley, a fertile but mostly dry part of eastern California. Stretching over 75 miles, the valley divides two mountain ranges, the Sierra Nevadas and the White Mountains. Both mountain ranges loom about 2 miles into the sky on either side of you. To the west, the Sierra Nevadas are jagged and sharp. Dense green pines grow across their ridges. Their tan, granite spires claw at the sky. The softer outline of the White Mountains dominates your view to the east. The lower slopes are dotted with hardy sagebrush, adapted to the dry, arid soil. As you look higher, you see stands of mountain mahogany. The afternoon sun warms the Owens Valley. The sky is clear and dark blue. The Sierra Nevada mountains tend to trap any clouds that drift in from the coast. But what water does trickle down this side of their peaks collects in the Owens River. You drive across the river on your way to the White Mountains, leaving behind the green grasses on the riverbank. Minute by minute, the land becomes drier the farther you go from the river. The road then starts to climb an alluvial fan, which looks like a giant poured sand out of an hourglass. These astonishing geological features are created when water transports large amounts of sediment that settle to the ground along the way. The rich nutrients brought here have led to a small forest of sage. The fresh scent wafts through the windows of your car. Protected by the Sierra Nevada mountains, the landscape here is rather slow to change. It's more like a century glass rather than an hourglass, marking time on longer scales. The road winds back and forth across the rising slopes, steadily climbing up and up. You notice changes in the plant life. like the first thin stands of piñon pines. Their gnarly roots help to hold the hillside together. They can't stop the wear and tear of time, but they help to shape the mountain, at least for a while. As you leave the valley behind, the air cools off. It's the kind of air that makes your skin prickle and hair stand on end when you first feel it. But then your body adapts and your lungs feel refreshed. The road turns north and gains altitude faster. The landscape opens up again, and you can see old mining roads crisscrossing the hills. They once were bustling with activity. Now, they are just two ruts in the dirt. A few horses from the mining era still enjoy a wild and free life in these high fields. These are the last remnants of the famous California Gold Rush. Ranchers still bring cattle up from time to time, and you might see them. If you're lucky, you will see bighorn sheep or mule deer ambling at the edges of the open spaces, ready to dart back among the trees at the first sign of humanity. Now, the road takes you alongside the Methuselah Grove, which is home to the world's oldest known tree, a bristlecone pine. You pull into a parking area, get out of the car, and stretch your arms. With no particular agenda, you wander along the trail into the grove. The first thing you notice is the shocking number of dead bristlecone tree trunks on the ground. That is because breaking things down takes a long time here. Just as the arid mountain conditions make it hard for trees to grow in the first place, they slow down the insects and microbes that usually consume fallen trees too. Instead, bristlecone trunks mark the landscape, centuries and even millennia after their death, eroding instead of rotting, straddling the line between biology and geology. The soil is tan and has a texture somewhere between sand and clay, with jagged stones strewn on top. Faded green sagebrush punctuate the areas between the trees, but empty space is rather abundant here. Unlike tropical or even temperate forests, where life rushes to fill everything, it proceeds with caution in this high desert forest. You walk slower in the thin air. The trail leads you along a gentle hillside, which grows thicker and thicker, spindly bristlecone pines. They're striking trees, to say the least. Their broad, wide trunks twist and turn as they reach toward the sky. Their branches do the same, as if the whole tree were a screw for a giant. One thing is for sure, these are not your typical tall and straight pine trees. They look chunkier and more rugged than pines in lower forests. Some appear more dead than alive, with only a thin ribbon of bark carrying life up the trunk to the last enduring green branches. Some could pass for sculptures in the right kind of museum. Younger ones, perhaps more protected from the wind and the sun, are still greener than they are brown. Live branches surround their reddish-brown trunks. They reach toward the sky in the slowest of motions. You run your hand along the trunk of one, feeling the rugged bark on your fingertips. As you follow the path, wandering between and among these unique trees, you appreciate just how ancient this forest is. It's more than 5,000 years old. With each long, slow breath that you take, you imagine moving back in time through the millennia. The first breath takes you back to a time when only indigenous people lived in the region, moving up and down the foothills each season. The next millennium takes you to the time when the first seeds of modern religions were sprouting on distant continents. With the third breath, you continue even farther back in time to when ancient Egypt was nearing its peak. You realize that these steps back in time are only snapshots. The bristlecone pines experience the slow march of the world much differently. They spend the few weeks of warmth and rain each year growing a single, thin layer of new bark. Their twisted branches reach just a bit closer to the sky. Then, they endure the dry, cold remainder of the year. It makes you wonder whether these pines even notice the passage of a day. To them, a day might feel like the length of a single breath to you. As you imagine going back another millennium, people are taming horses. And 1,000 years further, around the time the oldest known bristlecone pines sprouted, scribes are inventing the first known way of representing speech, writing. If someone happened to notice when the oldest bristlecone pine appeared, there would have been no way to write it down. But the bristlecone pines don't seek recognition. They are comfortable here, enjoying their quiet life in these picturesque mountains. By the time you get back to your car, the sun is noticeably lower. The sky remains a clear, crystal blue, but the shadows of the trees and mountain peaks are growing longer. Some of the pines are looking more orange in the light. It's time to find somewhere to sleep. The road follows the long ridge of mountains, with pullouts every so often. You can take your pick and stay the night. Some of the pullouts are nestled in thicker forest and some are more open. You slow down as you drive along the winding road, contemplating what you'd like best. If you choose a pullout with a view, you will be able to see out over the mountains, across the Owens Valley, and catch a glimpse of the jagged teeth of the Sierra Nevadas. To your right, you can make out an extinct volcanic cone, the highest point in the White Mountains. It has a hazy white patch, but the soil remains a lighter colour. Most of it is dark red, with a few yellow streaks. As the sun slips toward the peaks of the Sierra Nevadas on your left, the light hitting the mountain becomes more yellow and then orange. Now the air is cooler and you're beginning to feel a little hungry. It's great timing because as the road comes around a wide range, you find the perfect spot. A pullout on the side of the road with plenty of space to camp and a remarkable view of the seemingly endless mountains. It's time to make camp. You turn the key to your car, shutting the engine off. You step out and enjoy a moment to stretch your legs. With the car's motor silenced, you can hear the forest again. A few birds chirp while the breeze rustles through pine trees nearby. You pull your pack out of the car and walk toward a flat, open spot free of large rocks. The few dry branches and small pebbles on the ground are easily removed, and soon enough, you have marked out a space big enough to sleep. Setting up your tent and sleeping space is quick work. Next, it's time to build a small fire to cook some food over. You wander around the campsite, gathering twigs and branches. In an arid climate like this, the wood is particularly dry and perfect for a campfire. The branches are surprisingly light to carry, and you enjoy the fresh smell of pine as your collection grows. With an arm full of firewood, you return back to the campsite. You check the surroundings to ensure that there's no risk to building a small blaze here. This place is too beautiful and ancient, so you want to be sure you respect and protect it. Thankfully, someone before you dug a pit about a foot into the ground and surrounded it with large rocks. You send a thank you into the evening air for whoever left you that gift. Using your foot, you sweep a large circle around the pit to prevent the fire from catching any nearby twigs. Then you begin to build your fire, laying down the biggest log first and setting the next biggest one across it. They make a kind of lean-to. The very smallest branches and some scraggly, dried grass get stuffed underneath it all, completing the construction. With the strike of a match, the wood begins to glow from inside, growing into a warm orange blaze. It crackles and pops, heating your hands, which makes you realize that the cool evening air has arrived. The sun has gone down behind the Sierra Nevadas to the west, but its light remains bright as it reaches over the peaks. Now, you turn your attention to making dinner. You have a metal, foldable platform that, when opened, stands atop the fire and allows you to cook over it. You fill two pots with water and set them on the platform. In the larger pot, you drop a collection of some of your favorite fresh ingredients, along with a mix of seasonings. After a quick stir, you place a top on the pot and orient it directly over the fire. In no time, it will cook into a delicious bowl of soup. But first, tiny bubbles are beginning to form in the smaller pot. With the mug in one hand, you pour hot water from the pot into the mug, enjoying the pouring sound it makes. You drop a bag of your favorite tea into the mug and watch as the color seeps out of the tea leaves, billowing through the water. Now, there's nothing to do but sit back, relax, enjoy the warmth of the mug in your hands, and wait for your soup to finish. The last rays of sunshine are disappearing beyond the mountains. Over the next few minutes, they change from orange and yellow to red and purple. It's a sight that somehow never seems to grow old. As the natural light disappears, the sky evolves from a pale blue to a dark, velvety canvas of stars. The sounds change too. The rustling of pines across the mountains remains constant, but the occasional chirp of birds fades away into the night. The distant howl of a coyote floats across the hills. You notice the pot over the fire beginning to rumble softly. You remove it from the flames with care and lift the top off, revealing a billow of steam and the scent of freshly made soup. With a spoon, you test the consistency of the contents. They are tender and cooked to perfection. You set the pot off to the side, allowing it to cool for a few minutes before pouring the soup into a bowl. Holding your dinner bowl warms your hands. Steam rises and you breathe it in, lingering in the nourishing scent. A feeling of satisfaction washes over you. There's something innately fulfilling about preparing food the old-fashioned way. You test the temperature of your soup. It's just right. The first bite flows over your tongue and down your throat. Delicious, you think. You stare into the campfire as you eat your fill. The base of the fire is red, and the bottom edge of the log is turning white. Orange flames jump up. It crackles and pops, blowing a steady wisp of smoke into the air. The log hisses as air inside heats up and expands, trying to escape from the cracks in the wood. The air feels even cooler now, and you eat the next few spoonfuls of your soup, not only appreciating its nourishment, but also its warmth. Looking up, more stars become visible. Each time you gaze upward in between bites of food, new twinkling lights appear. You finish off the last few spoonfuls, feeling full and content with your campfire cooking skills. After a quick rinse with hot water, you stow your cooking items into the trunk of your car. The thud of the trunk closing echoes through the silent mountains. Everything is completely still. You walk back to the fire, which is now more ember than flame. Breathing in, you savour the last of its distinct smell. Pouring water onto what's left of it causes the fire to hiss. A cloud of steam rises up, mixing with the smoke until the embers are gone. The ash is muddy and black. You stand up and kick some dirt onto it until the smoke and steam disappear. You stir the muddy mixture with a stick, just to make sure any last embers are subdued. Now, you can lay down in your tent and cozy up in your sleeping bag. They swish and crinkle while you build your nest for the night, but soon, the only sound left is your breathing and the whisper of the wind through the bristlecone branches. You snuggle up and rest easy, feeling the muscles in your body relax. You open the windows of your tent, letting the fresh mountain air soothe you. From the warmth of your sleeping bag, your eyes begin to grow heavy. You stare out of the window at the growing collection of stars. As your eyes adjust to the darkness, a denser, hazy band appears. It's the Milky Way, your home in the universe. The nearest stars in this collection emitted the light you see now back around the time the oldest bristlecone pines sprouted from their tiny seeds. It took that light and those trees 5,000 years to meet, and you are here tonight to witness it. You let your eyes close as this feeling of being lost in time envelops you. Thoughts begin to disappear. Slowly, you begin to fade into dreams, and your mind drifts back in time to when the first humans crossed these lands, when the bristlecone pines were just young saplings. You can see that time in your mind. It seems distant, but also very present. The ancient trees tie you to the past and the past to you. And it's with this deep sense of connection that you move forward in time, moment by moment, into a contented and restful sleep.